So this morning we are talking about a lifestyle of worship. So especially for the many newcomers who are here, we are on the series talking about worship, what worship is like. So there's a brief synopsis or brief trailer in a way. July 7, we talk about wider worship. July 28, we talk about the purpose of worship. And today we are going to continue and end topics about worship with a lifestyle of worship taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. And we talk about, you know, when we called to worship, right? The instruction from the scripture found in Psalm chapter 66 is that we are to shout, we are to sing, we are to praise. We are to shout, we are to sing to and praise God. And after that, we also know that all nations, whether we like it or not, ultimately all nations, all the earth will worship you. All nations will praise the Lord ultimately. So we have talked about whether you are now already praising the Lord or ultimately at the end when Jesus comes again, you will, whether you like it or not, praise the Lord too. Because all the earth worships you and sings praises to you. And lastly, for the first sermon, Why to Worship, we also talk about the word Selah. That means ponder and meditate, right? As we sing of the songs, as we look at the scripture is telling us, God is telling us to slow down. To slow down. Take some time to think about His word. Take some time to think about the lyrics of the song that you have sang just now. Ponder upon it, meditate upon it, respond to it. And of course, on the second sermon, where we talk about the purpose of worship, we come across the message of Christ that says that we were created with the capacity to relate to God. Whether it is Jesus, right? All of us, whether you are a believer or not, we are created with the capacity, with the ability to relate to God. And so for some of us, we have been searching all our life to fill the little hole in our hearts. But mind you, that hole can only be filled with God and God alone. So we were created with the capacity to relate to God, but we realized that sin took away the privilege to relate to God naturally. So ultimately, in natural, we cannot relate to God because sin came into the picture. But we thank God that God ultimately made it possible for us, you and me, to return to Him through Jesus Christ. So that was the gist of the second sermon, the purpose of worship. And out of the purpose of worship, we are to respond in gratitude. We are to completely surrender. And there is a willingness to serve God. Because worship, mind you, is not only on Sunday, especially when we talk about Sunday service, our worship service, it's not only 11 o'clock to 12:15. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle, and that lifestyle will show gratitude. That lifestyle will show a sense of complete surrender to God and obey Him. And ultimately, out of all this, there is a willingness to serve God. So, you know, if you see Satan, the devil, actually tempted Jesus, saying that if you bow down and worship me, all these things I will give you. And when we understand worship, it is not limited to a certain time. Once again, not 11 to 12, 15. When we say worship, it is a lifestyle. It is a decision for life. And of course, we talked about the three dangers. We worship in vain because we chose not to repent. So we can sing. We can act out, you know, jumping, dancing, raising up our hands, bowing down. But all this is in vain if we choose not to repent. All this, in a way, it is for show only if we choose not to repent and come back to God. We also talked about worship can be empty. We can do everything we can. We can spend months preparing for worship. But worship can be empty because if our hearts are far from God, that's it. It is going to be empty. Whatever we do here can be a show for the people, but God knows our heart. And here, Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, it reminds us that this group of people, hopefully none of them here, this group of people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and they worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. And we also talk about worship belongs to God alone. We can worship anything, But mind you again, worship belongs to the true God and God alone. So let us worship God with our lives by living out a worshipful lifestyle. And how to do that? How to do that? So let's ponder upon it this morning. What is a lifestyle of worship? And this can be taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. So if you have your Bible with you, may I invite you to open up your Bible to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Let me read to you as well. All right, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So let's dissect this whole passage and see what the scripture talks to us today about a lifestyle of worship. So whenever we see in the Bible, there's this word therefore, right? Therefore always is a link in a way. It means that it connects what is about to say later, that means verses 1 to 2, it is connected to what was being said before, right? It was being said before. All right. So the world desperately needs to get right with God. That was taken in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 3:20. And after that, you see that Paul is talking about the way for the world to get right with God through God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is taken from Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 5:21. And the believers can now be set apart from God. That is found in Romans 6:1 to 8:39. And ultimately, before we come to therefore, the church is now God's choice to carry the gospel, Romans chapter 9, verse 1, 11 to 36. I know it's a mouthful. It is, for me, at the moment, impossible to summarize it. It is a mouthful. But ultimately, this is how the book of Romans has been written. All right, and all this was mentioned before this, and therefore, what should we do? So we have a few things here that we need to take note, right? I urge you, again, Paul is saying that, you know, worship of God is strongly urged. It is begging, in a way. Paul is begging us, the fellow brothers and sisters, a relationship that we share in Christ. So for those who say that we are Christian, we belong to God, Paul is saying to us, he is begging us in a way. All right, he's beseeches, he's imploring to us, he's urging us to do what's next. All right, so this is the meaning. So we have the context, therefore, what has happened, and it connects to what is to come. And Paul, knowing that we are his brothers and sisters in Christ, he is asking us to consider and really take worship seriously, because worship of God is strongly recommended and urged. Now, we cannot worship just like that. Still remember the problem of sin? Sin has removed our natural capacity to relate to God. So for us to come back to God, for us to be able to worship God once again, there must be a change somewhere. That change has to be from within. That change has to be from the inside out. We are given a renewed spirit when we proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that we belong to Him, that we believe in Him, that we want to obey Him and follow Him. God has given us a renewed spirit, and out of the renewed spirit, God slowly changed our minds. He slowly changed our emotion. He slowly changed our will. And ultimately, what is changed inside of us is made visible to our physical body, to our interaction, to how we behave, to how we love one another. It comes from inside out. So worship, a lifestyle of worship, is an act that shows what is changed inside us. So if we do not have a lifestyle of worship, that is basically meaning that, you know, inside you, nothing changed. So a lifestyle of worship, once again, is not only found on Sunday, But rather, it is every moment of our life, whether we are in church, whether we are outside church, whether we are at school, at the, you know, workplace and all this. We are called to live a life of worship. But very often, even though we proclaim that we are Christians, we realize that Jesus Christ is not sitting on the throne. Our self is still there. We are not willing to let go and let God control our life. Be it our speech, be it our mind, be it our emotion, be it our will. So you will notice that, you know, the big circles, the small circles in the first photo, there are some things that are magnified. We just simply love to pursue that. There are certain things that is not aligned to what God has in mind for us. But on the second picture, right, there is a fruitfulness, there is an abundance. Once we align everything and Jesus Christ Himself is sitting on the throne of our heart. So when within us, there is this surrender to God and His Spirit, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and that He is in charge, you will notice that all our interests, all our desires, all our emotion, will are directed to Christ. Controlled in a way. So a lifestyle of worship involves a change within us. So first of all, here we see in verse 1, we surrender our body to God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, your physical bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. Now, many of us, when we talk about being a Christian, you know, believing in Jesus, you know, it is something inside. However we use our body, it doesn't really, you know, we doesn't really need to care. Because in the scripture, it did mention that when we die, when Jesus comes again, we are going to get a new resurrected body. So since this body is mortal, it is temporarily, don't need to take care of it. But here in the scripture, it is very obvious that God cares about your body. So therefore, we ought to put certain intention to take care of our body. And of course, we have before and after. Before we know Christ, we may abuse our body, we may neglect our body, we may have ignored our body, and we could have been, you know, overeating, we may become too active or inactive, we may be partaking in harmful substances, we may be caring for the external, but we are abusing the internal, the emotion part of our body, or we may be getting too much or too little rest. Is this how you behave and how you take care or abuse your body? Some of us, we may use our body for sinful pleasures and purposes. And you will notice that through our life, our body will be dedicated to ourselves, right? However we wish to live, we can do our own thing. Our body is, you know, just a vessel. Ultimately, the spirit and the soul is more important. No, that is wrong. Some of us, we may be dedicated our body to our family, our wife, our husband, our child, employer, and all this stuff. And some of us, we may dedicate our body to our houses, to our lands, to our property, to our money, to our cars, possession, recreation, retirement, luxury, power, recognition, and fame. All in all, because of sin, we have misused and mistreated our body. Here we see that Paul is urging you and me to change this mindset, to take care of your body and to actually offer our body as a living sacrifice to God. How can we serve God if we are always sick? If we are not sleeping well because we want to watch certain, I don't know, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Netflix, Disney Plus, there's a lot right at the moment. If we are not taking care of our body, we are not able to present our body as a living sacrifice for God's usage. If we don't take care of ourselves, we are going to get into trouble and we are going to not be effective in our ministry for God. And God, once again, is not only interested in our spirit and soul, He is interested on how we use our body for His glory. Now, the meaning of living sacrifice means that it's a constant, that it's a continuous sacrifice. It is not just, again, 11 o'clock to 12:15 on Sunday. It is not just when we are involved in its ministry. It is not just when we go for CG. It is not just when we serve people. It is not just an occasional dedication of our body. All right? It is a constant, continuous sacrifice every moment of our life for God. A living sacrifice means also wherever we are. Because our body is wherever we are, right? As you go inside the car, your body is there. As you go to work, your body is there. Right? It is not fixed to a particular place, a place and time. And when we talk about living sacrifice, it means that we are to sacrifice our own desire to follow God's command. God may tell us, go left. We just want to go right. God say not to sin using our body. We just simply like to give in to our flesh. So a living sacrifice means that we are going to sacrifice and put aside our selfish desire and follow what God says. And lastly, living sacrifice also means that our body lives for God by serving God. Whether we are at home, whether we are at the church, whether we are at the school, office, at the field, restaurant, car. We are to use our body, our whole being, to serve and love God. And as we surrender our body to God, notice that it is acceptable to God. Notice that it is also a reasonable service to God. It is rational, it is intelligent, it is logical, it is approved, well-pleasing, and that's satisfying to God. So as we surrender our whole body to God, we are ultimately saying that, God, you are taking control of our life, and we know this act of surrendering our body to God is one that is satisfying to God. God is happy with us surrendering our body to Him every moment of our life to do His will and to serve Him. And worship time means time in God's Word and prayer every day. So that we know what is acceptable to God. So that we know what God wants us to do. So that is the first part. To have surrender our body to God. Now the second one is that we are called to surrender our minds. Our minds to God. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Verse 2a, the first part of verse 2. Now before this, we may think. There's a lot of ways, right? The world seems to say that it is going to last forever. Your legacy will go on. The world may think, you know, the world is teaching us that the world is lasting, the world is permanent, the world is unending. And the world seems to teach us also that it offers the very best of everything. Whether it is pleasure, whether it is enjoyment, happiness, fulfillment, satisfaction, completeness, as you pursue the world, you will get all this. This is what the world is teaching us. But brothers and sisters, it is very clear to us, and we deep down inside know it, that the world is dying, it is corruptible, it is not perfect, and all this is found in the scripture with the few verses over there. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, we are not willing to change. We want to hold on to what we have earned so far, and we want to take pride in all this, knowing that perhaps this could be the evidence that I have lived my life here on earth. To have the legacy for my children, for my family, that ultimately this is what I have contributed to society. This is what I have contributed to my family, and I matter. Brothers and sisters, you matter, yes. You matter to God. Each and every one of us, whether you know God or you do not know God, each of us, you matter to God. Whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, whether you accept it or not, that is the truth that God has given in the scripture, and that is why He sent Jesus, whether we know Him or not. Now, conforming, the root word means fashion. We have a few of our brothers here who's in fashion, right? Now, the word fashion, I have nothing against fashion, right? But the essence of fashion in the Greek word is that it is an appearance of a person that changes from day to day. So if I'm preaching, you will notice that I'm wearing a coat. And if today, as the boys brigade serve in the worship service, you notice that they are in their uniform. But they may dress differently. I may dress differently at home, right? With a pair of singlet, maybe, all right? Some of us may go bottomless and all this, right? So fashion changes depending on where we are, depending on the situation, and depending what was the occasion. This means conforming. Conforming, that means we are changing our lifestyle based on what the world is currently trending. We look differently from, you know, as a young man and as an older man. We dress differently even. Conforming is basically saying that we are following the world. And it is very obvious as believers we are called not to. We are called not to follow the fellowship of the world. We are called not to follow the fashion and the lust of the world. We are called not to follow the gods of this world. And we are called not to follow the leaders of this world, not to follow the false security this world offers, not to follow after the deceitful riches of this world. We are called not to live in pleasure on earth. And we are called not to follow the crowds of the world. We are called as a believer not to conform, not to put on what the world is putting on. The trend today is that we can be whatever gender we want. That is the trend of the world. Conforming to the world means that you follow. Oh, I feel like I'm a boy today, so I'm an M today. I feel like I'm a girl tomorrow, I put my gender as an F. F tomorrow. Sorry, mix up. So we are called not to conform to the world, not to, you know, fashion ourselves in a way according to the world's standard. Because if the world controls our thinking, we are called conformers. And worldliness is an expression of conformers. Worldliness is whatever makes sin look normal and righteousness looks super strange. Everyone is doing that, so it's okay. Everyone is telling white lies for the sake of the person that we love. It is okay to lie. So, you know, worldliness makes sin, telling white lies, a very simple example, looks okay. Looks normal. And it will show to us that righteousness, why are you so stupid one? Why are you following the rules when we could have taken shortcuts to save some costs here and there? Righteousness will look very, very strange in the mind of those of the world. There is a very big contrast here. So if you notice anything that you have done righteously and people look at you one kind, I would like to assure you that you are living a lifestyle of worship. You are acting out a life that is being changed from within, and God is pleased with your decision. Nevertheless, now our minds are corrupted by selfishness and sin, and so we are not treating God as God. So we have Romans chapter 1, verse 21, even though the people of God knew God, they neither glorify Him as God nor give thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And we have the whole list there. What happened to this group of people? This group of people who belong to God, they claim to be wise, but they are actual fools. They worship and serve created things. They partake in all the sexual impurity. They have a depraved mind, and they are filled with wickedness, greed, envy, strife, etc., etc. So even though we are called Christians, but some of us, we still did not let Jesus take control of the throne in our heart, and that is why we may have certain of these habits in us. But on the contrary, if God controls our thinking, then we are called being transformed. We are called transformer. We are transformed by the word of God, and we can transform the world around us. And out of the very big example, you know, after our mind are being changed, renewed, right? Metamorphosis is the word that comes to mind. All right, the changing of a larvae to a beautiful butterfly, it is a totally different thing. Morph in Greek, it refers to the real being of a man, the nature, the essence of a man that is not of the fashion. It is who you are deep down inside. Regardless of how you dress up, how you, you know, in a way, makeup and all this stuff, right? Regardless of how you dress up and all this, morph is the real thing. It's your real thing. It's who you are. It is the unchanging shape, unchanging person in us. And God is calling us to change from within with His help. To change from within from His help. So how radical is radical? This is radical. A total change from a larvae that moves like this to a butterfly that flies. A total change. And if you studied how it happened, right? The scientists actually managed to find out that there was a programmed cell death. That means the larvae, you know, they have to die and then ultimately eat up itself in a way. Right? There was a programmed cell death, and if you are familiar with certain terms like autophagy and apoptosis, right? So basically, it is devouring of the own self, own cell, and then ultimately to rebuild something new. Right? So that is what happened in the metamorphosis, especially when we talk about butterfly. And out of this change, we, in our hearts, we will have the presence and the image of Christ in us. Once we are born again, once we are made into a new man, once we are made into a new creation, once we were given the mind of Christ, and once we are being changed into the image of Christ. And if you are surrounded by unbelieving family members, one of the most obvious lifestyle of worship is giving thanks when you before you partake of your food. Have you come across your unbelieving family saying that, pray lah? You pray and then the food will automatically prepare itself. You pray lah, money will fall from the heavens and the skies. If you receive such an example or such a response from your unbelieving friends and family members, I would like to encourage you to go on. Because they notice something different in you. They notice something change within you. And even though it may not sound nice, but they know you are changed. Continue on, keep it on. Continue to pray before meal. Continue to pray for your family members so that ultimately they too have access to our Lord Jesus Christ and can be changed from within, can be free from the bondage of sin and all this that is dragging us down in life. And lastly, we are called to surrender our will to God. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, when we talk about our whole being, right, the mind controls our body, the will controls the mind. Now, let me ask you, is all of us here in our exam, right, and that exam is, you know, whether we can appear righteous before God. That means when God sees us as someone that have not sinned ever. If God has already settled the problem and gave us 100 marks for the exam, would you take it? Oh, yes. Good. You know, they understand exam. Who wouldn't want a 100 mark free exam? Similarly, God has made it possible for us to score 100 points in our exam when we meet Him. But out of our own will, we have chosen not to. I want to try my own effort. I want to try to live a life that, you know, ultimately without God, but God can accept me. We want to try our very best to mingle and to, move in the world in such a way that we want to be acceptable by God, but ultimately, we won't be able to score 100% because we know that we can't ever score 100% unless it is through Jesus Christ and His righteousness. So God has created us for the best. You and me, God has given us, prepared for us the best. But sometimes we still want to hand in our not 100 marks exam paper. Sometimes we just want to try our best, we just want our own way. Understand our ngenge? We just want to have our own way, we try our very best to live up to the expectation of the world. But once again, brothers and sisters, the world is dying. The world is corruptible. The world is not perfect. We have a perfect God who offers 100% score for each and every one of us, if we choose to surrender to God. If we submit and surrender to the will of God, we can let God's power take over to be victorious. And that's the ending. For many, many years, you know, I tried to begin my day surrendering my body, my will, my soul, in a way, my mind to God. And this starts when, you know, I spend time in His Word. This starts when I pray, asking God for the strength to transform my mind so that I can be more loving to the uncured people that I meet, so that I can be more patient, especially to my family members that we always, or rather, I always lose my patience to. And then I pray. And if you have been here to listen to Deacon Bruce's sermon, prayer gives us the strength to carry it out. And as I pray that, you know, all these tasks that upsets me, all these tasks that worry me, you know, God will carry me through. And to have a right relationship with God, we must always start the day with yielding Him our bodies, our minds, and our will. Would you want to score 100% in the exam paper? Would you want to be set free from the bondage of your selfishness and your sin? Would you want to be encouraged and experience the love and joy and peace that the Lord promised to His children? Do you want to surrender your wickedness, your evil, your greed, your envy, your deceit, your gossip, your slander, your arrogance, your heartlessness, your faithlessness, your foolishness, and the approval of others in this world to God so that you can receive the 100% that God has promised you? Because ultimately, as Christians, we understand that Christ died for us so that we can now hand in the 100% exam paper to God because of Jesus Christ. Would you like to do that this morning? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that You have given us the best because we are Your children and You are our Heavenly Father. And Lord, all this is made possible because You have created us with the mind, with the ability to relate to You, with a renewed spirit that is found in Christ. And Lord, we truly want to give thanks to You, for You have made all this available for us. And Lord, we know that we are not worthy. Lord, we know that we cannot achieve all this by our own, but solely through the work of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection on the cross. So Lord, we ask that Your Spirit continue to work in the hearts of those who have just heard Jesus Christ for the first time. Lord, we pray that You will answer to their prayer when they shout out to You. In the midst of their struggles, in the midst of their challenges, in the midst of their sufferings, Lord. Lord, I ask that You bless them. Bless them with Your purpose and Your will, that ultimately they will be able to see You in their life, that You answer their prayer, that You are truly a living God. And Lord, we pray that for the many who have yet to know You, Lord, once again, You will soften their hearts. You help them to see You in action every day. In the minor things like, you know, finding a car park in the mall, giving thanks, and the attitude of giving thanks. Lord, the small things that is in our life. As fellow brothers and sisters, we know that this is an expression of our worship. To put our focus in the small things in our life. Because, Lord, we know that You care and that You want the very best for each and every one of us. So, Lord, we thank You especially for all the blessings that You have been blessing us. We pray that, Lord, we will be a channel of blessing, that Your blessings will flow through us to our family members who have yet to know you. Lord, we pray that you change us from within as we offer our mind, our will, and as we offer our body to serve you, Lord. We pray that our whole life, every moment, will be one that is pleasing to you. Will be one that is glorifying you. Will be one that when we see you face to face in the future, you will say to us, good and faithful servant. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.